CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
What's going on, everybody? It's Monday, August 15th, and this is the College Football Daily. I'm your host, Nick Koska. With me today is going to be Dave Woods of Bruin Report Online, covering all things UCLA athletics. And of course, we're going to dive into UCLA season preview for the upcoming college football season in 2022. We'll see what Chip Kelly can do in this next season after having an 8-4 record last fall. Canceled bowl game, but there seem to be bigger expectations for the Bruins moving forward here in just a few weeks. So pleased to welcome in now Dave Woods of Bruin Report Online. Dave, appreciate you joining me, man. And I got to start out first with fall camp underway right now. Your big observation so far as we're in the early stages of camp before the season starts.
Yeah, it's the Chip Kelly era, which means we only see about 20 minutes at the beginning of each practice. But in those 20 minutes, there's definitely been some stuff to observe. I think the biggest takeaway right now is just how much transfers are impacting this roster. If you go up and down the defense, up and down the offense, I mean, starting left tackle is going to be a transfer from Rutgers and Raekwon O'Neal. Starting middle linebacker is going to be Darius Muasau, a transfer from Hawaii. Starting defensive end, at least one of them, maybe both, are going to be transfers from North Texas, and Gabriel Murphy and Grayson Murphy. So just up and down the roster, so many new faces who are coming in as veterans, just not veterans from this squad.
I can gather from that answer right there, it's basically a veteran team, but how does that mesh though with all these transfers?
Yeah, and I talked to Darius Muasau actually about that today, and just how do you, especially if you're coming in a leadership role, if you're coming in as a middle linebacker, how do you actually take over as a, you know, kind of the voices for that team when you're a transfer in? And he said it's actually been good. They've got a really good culture. They've been talking a lot this offseason about an NFL culture. And if we know anything about the NFL, there's a lot of free agents every year coming into new teams and having to integrate quickly. And the idea is with all that coaching experience, you know, they've got many defensive coaches with DC experience, even at the NFL level. They're hoping that that helps to integrate and provide a kind of a professional atmosphere. Proof will be in the pudding. I mean, it'll depend on what we see during the season, but there's a lot of good talk about that, and it's something they're recognizing that's something could be a potential issue that they're trying to address with coaching hires, as well as how they integrated these guys over the offseason.
I was going to mention, you know, the professional atmosphere, and obviously you could point right to Chip Kelly, who was with the Philadelphia Eagles and of course the San Francisco 49ers for a few years before returning to the college game, so he has experience as a head coach at both levels. But when you say an NFL atmosphere, is that a good thing or a bad thing for these college kids, knowing that this is a veteran team coming back here in 2022?
I think it's got positive and negative elements. I think the positive elements are mostly felt by the team. I think they want to be coached by NFL guys. I think there's a really good feel around that. I think getting Ken Norton Jr. back on campus, you know, he's a former Bruin from playing days. He's had a number of stints in the NFL. Now getting him back on campus as a linebackers coach, I think the players love it. They love him. He's been great. I think, and he's been actually an asset in recruiting, so he's not even relevant to my pivot point here, but the problem with NFL coaches a lot of times is that they're not used to the recruiting game, the recruiting grind. And I think it makes it even more of this self-fulfilling prophecy as far as transfers, because it's a slightly different recruiting game. It doesn't require quite as much mileage, you know, quite as many hours out at high school games on Friday nights. And I think it perpetuates this transfer reliance for UCLA, where they're essentially taking the thing that is most like NFL free agency and using it as their main form of roster building and roster management.
So let's talk about the guys who have been here and that have been able to return here in 2022. Dorian Thompson-Robinson at quarterback. Zach Charbonnet, of course, a former Michigan running back, is back again for UCLA here in 2022. Lethal combination just last season. Now they are both back. And of course, there were a lot of questions about DTR and whether he was going to come back at quarterback. Of course, the Dylan Gabriel transfer fell through. He ends up going to Oklahoma, coming out of UCF. So with these two guys back, Dave, what's the expectation for these two guys in the backfield, knowing that they are that good of a lethal combination.
They're going to be very good. I think that's the reality. The floor should be, they're going to be very good. The question is, so with Dorian Thompson-Robinson, I think a lot of people formed their opinions of him as a player based on his first 2 years. He's entering his fifth year at UCLA now. His fifth year getting reps because of the COVID eligibility rule. He's going to go down as one of the most experienced quarterbacks in UCLA history, and he's gotten better every single year. Junior year, he was good. The 2020 COVID shortened year. 2021, he was really good. And this year, I mean, if he continues on his arc of progression, he could be right there with Caleb Williams for best quarterback in the Pac-12 this year. Zach Charbonnet, I mean, last year, if he didn't really even start the first three games. He was backing up Britton Brown. He's going to put up numbers that are, I think the last UCLA running back who would have been close would have been Paul Perkins in 2015. It's going to be a 1,400 or 1,500-yard season if he stays healthy. And, you know, that's always the knock on wood. But if these guys stay healthy, they should have put up some pretty incredible numbers.
Chip Kelly's very high on wide receiver Jake Bobo. What are your thoughts on him?
Absolutely. So Bobo is something they haven't had at UCLA under Chip Kelly, which is that outside receiver with real size. They've had some guys who basically use that position as a blocking role, but most of the work has been done out of the tight end position or the slot. It's all been the inside receivers. Bobo's a different beast. He's about 6'5", and he got even more built this offseason. He's got like full-on offensive line shoulders now. But he was, I think, a 74 catch guy at Duke last year. They have not had that. I think they're going to be replacing Kyle Phillips's production, which was in the slot last year, with Jake Bobo. And I think it's going to change the emphasis of the offense in some ways. They're going to be throwing it outside a little bit more, but he's going to be a focal point. I would say he's going to be one of the two main targets in the passing game.
So based on what you've been able to see, albeit in a limited sense at practice, of course, the way Chip Kelly runs things, you know, he revolutionized the offensive game in college football back when he was in Oregon, brought that new method to the NFL and revolutionized it at least a little bit with the Philadelphia Eagles. Now that he brought it back to UCLA, I mean, what have you noticed him as a coach offensively? I mean, is it still one of those systems that's going to blow your mind a little bit, or is it, you know what, he's adjusted now to the current college game and now he's just adapting with his players?
I think it's much more the latter. I don't think there's not some like innovation that you can just put a pin in and say that's what Chip Kelly's doing at UCLA. I would say much more he's embraced the versatility of the tight end in the way that the modern NFL has. They've really, really hinged a lot of the offense around how they use their tight ends, where they're putting them, how they're creating mismatches with them. What I would say is he's turned the offense into essentially a Swiss Army knife. It's able to do a wide variety of things in a given week, and from week to week, you know, the game plan can completely shift from one week to the next, which is essentially an NFL type innovation, you know, because in the NFL, they have so much film work, they have so much prep work that they can basically run an entirely new scheme week to week because there's so much time to get ready. Somehow he's cracked the code, I think, on doing that at the college level when you don't necessarily have that prep time. Maybe it's just doing a few things, but doing them really, really well week to week. But whatever it is, it's worked. I don't think it's quite at the Oregon level where it was just this absolute monster that nobody had any idea how to stop. But if you look at the personnel that UCLA has had through the last 3 years and then look at their offensive production, I don't think there's any question they've outproduced what the personnel necessarily should have created.
So essentially what you're saying is he can go 1 week, run the power eye. The very next week, he puts that spread offense out there. So do you think this could be the next innovation in college football offense, is taking another book out of the Chip Kelly playbook, at least, or another page, I should say?
Yeah, but it's not going to be. So the thing what I would say is it's not going to be so easily copied because it's so much of it, I think, goes into the prep work. So much of it goes into the practice work. Whereas with the blur, you could look at it and say, well, they're going really fast. So maybe if we just go really fast, we're going to be pretty good too. And for large part in 2010, that was the case. If you decided to run your offense super fast, you were going to be pretty good. This isn't as easily copied, but yeah, I mean, I think there's an element here that he is doing something a little bit different with how they're preparing week to week.
We're going to step aside and take a quick break. On the other side, we'll look at some larger picture things for UCLA moving forward in 2022 and the future. Keep it locked here. This is the College Football Daily.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
So, Dave, I wanted to ask you about this, and it's a question that's probably been asked a lot over the summer after a conference realignment. UCLA and, of course, USC are going over to the Big Ten in 2024. Now, I could ask you what this means for UCLA. We know what it means. It's a bigger conference, essentially, and conference expansion. But is this topic overshadowing UCLA and maybe even USC going into this year? I mean, it's not going to happen until 2024. So what's the topic about this conference realignment at practice in the program? What have you seen?
So if you've ever heard Chip Kelly talk, he couldn't begin to provide a meaningful quote about this in any real way. Who knows what his internal monologue is like? I think you've kind of hit the nail on the head. The reality is it's 2 years away, whatever it's going to look like. And this year, nobody's talking really about UCLA, and with good reason. I mean, it's been a really bad 4 years, maybe 5 years, maybe 6 years, whatever you want to call it. This year, it's one of the easiest schedules UCLA's ever had. They've got experience at a lot of spots. It could easily be a 9-win team. I think there's potential for 10. So it could be one of the better UCLA teams in recent memory. And that is, I think, getting overshadowed a little bit, but I think UCLA wouldn't have it any other way. The least amount of attention possible is what they're going for going into a season. So I think they're kind of happy with it. But from the Big Ten thing, I mean, I think there's a lot of excitement in the administrative circles. I think there's a lot of excitement in the fan base. But I think it would be I would be remiss not to acknowledge that there are some people who are, you know, a little bit more reserved about it. I think there is some element where the fan base would have liked to maintain traditions with a lot of these other schools in the Pac-12. I think for the coaches, it's a mixed bag. I mean, I think they recognize the realities that the money is necessary, but I think for the coaches at all the sports, those road trips are not attractive. Having to, you know, do that 3 or 4 times a year in football or 9 times a year in basketball or whatever it ends up being is a little bit different from going to Stanford and Cal every other year.
No doubt. So you mentioned how it's a quieter offseason. It's a quieter buildup to the fall for UCLA compared to USC, of course, which brings in Lincoln Riley, Caleb Williams, Jordan Addison. Everyone's thinking about USC as running the Pac-12 once again under Lincoln Riley. But I wanted to ask you about the comparison between these two schools right now, because it seems like, as you mentioned, the easier schedule right now for UCLA could set them up for 9-10 wins, while USC, while a lot of new faces and talented faces, they have to mesh. And of course, it's a brand new program at this point under Lincoln Riley. So how do you weigh the comparison between UCLA and USC in 2022?
Yeah, it's an interesting spot, because I think you could make a fair argument that UCLA had a window while USC was kind of fumbling things away during the Clay Helton era. And that window, if it isn't slammed shut at this point, it's closing rapidly. This year, though, may still present an opportunity for UCLA to make a surge, because USC, if you look at that roster, they've added a ton of transfer talent. Line play still might be a question mark, and who knows how quickly you mesh with a new scheme and all that stuff. UCLA, for all of its warts, has continuity from year to year. They have not only the same offensive staff, but they have the same quarterback, the same running back. And for the large part, they've upgraded their defensive personnel. So there's reason to think UCLA could still be pretty good. I'm excited to see that UCLA-USC game at the end of the year. I think it could be telling for maybe the immediate future of this rivalry. But for USC's purposes, I think they're going to be good. The question is whether they're going to be really good. And I think the reality is, because of the amount of money, because of the amount of hype that's gone into the Lincoln Riley era, and because of these transfers coming in who are immediate impact guys, I don't know that he's going to get much of a honeymoon. I think the expectation probably baseline over in USC would probably be 9-3. And if it's anything less than that, I think there's going to be some serious disappointment in that fan base.
So you mentioned the praise, but also a potential disappointment for that side. But for UCLA and Chip Kelly, of course, he was given the new contract extension after last year. Of course, they go 8-4. Best season underneath him. And it's been taking him a while to basically rebuild this program. But what kind of pressure is on him now, considering all the hype surrounding USC and the fact that this window is very small, and this could be the lone year UCLA has to potentially win a Pac-12 title?
Yeah, so it's a really interesting discussion, because the extension that he got is not really it wasn't a huge vote of confidence. It's an extension that I think the buyout is completely gone after this season. So it's basically what you give a coach who you're not super happy with, but you don't necessarily want to test the waters right then. I think the bigger pressure on Chip Kelly Kelly is probably the Big Ten move, the impending Big Ten move, because it's one thing to go into that conference, you know, with a coach you really like and who you feel really good about. But I think he needs to show something if he wants to be the UCLA head coach heading into the Big Ten conference, because money's going to change. There's going to be less financial pressure on the UCLA athletic department, and they're going to be more flexible and able to make changes when they need to make them. And if he doesn't have a good year this year, I could absolutely see them making a change after this season. I think there is quite a bit of pressure on him. The thing is, though, the schedule is easy enough that I think even, you know, 8-4, while it might be disappointing for the fan base, it might be enough for the administration to say, okay, let's roll it forward another year. And then if we have to change, let's do it the first year of the Big Ten.
So my next question will be, can 8-4 be good enough to win enough to get to that Pac-12 title game? Of course, the divisions are gone now, and everyone seems to be picking Utah or Oregon to win this conference. But it seems to me, at least, that UCLA could be a dark horse pick to win the Pac-12 this year because of that easy schedule, as we have to mention again.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you foresee UCLA here in 2022?
Yeah, I would say right now, based on what we saw in the spring and the limited we've seen in the fall, I think they're going to be pretty good. Big question mark is offensive line and the tackle play beyond Raekwon O'Neal. Basically, if there's a single injury, there's going to be depth concerns. But looking at the schedule, I've got it at 9-3 now, and I think that makes Chip Kelly safe. I don't think that will get them in the Pac-12 title game. I don't think that'll be enough, just looking at the relative schedules for all the other teams, especially because I think that would be 3-0 in non-conference and 6-3 in conference. And only in the divisions would you actually have gotten that as a title game. I think in this new era without divisions, that'll be hard to do.
Dave Woods joining me on the College Football Daily. Dave, appreciate you joining me today. Where can everybody find you on social media?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at David Woods, and you can find me every day at BruinReportOnline.com.
Best UCLA coverage you could find anywhere on 247sports.com. Dave, appreciate you joining me, man, as always. Hope to talk again soon. We'll see if UCLA is knocking on the door of a Pac-12 title. And who knows, maybe a dark horse college football playoff contender. You never know down the line here in 2022.
Awesome. Thanks, Nick.
Dave Woods with me on the College Football Daily. UCLA is going to be a very fascinating team here in 2022. Chip Kelly, can he improve upon 8 wins? We shall see. And, you know, who knows? Maybe they are going to be the big brother to USC in 2022, at least for the meantime. But again, it remains to be seen. Follow me on Twitter at NickCosco59. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe this video on YouTube. And of course, share our YouTube channel, 247 Sports. And be sure to download this wherever you get your podcast, like and share as well. Once again, this is the College Football Daily. I'm Nick Costco for 247 Sports.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top 5 leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.